The second one is take care of me first, which is a very popular philosophy in the world today. Everything's about me and making me happy, but that's not scriptural either. We're here to please the Lord and to serve Him and others. Then last week, you can always fake it. In other words, appearance is most important. And as we know, that is not scriptural as well. That God says the right way to live is to live right, not to look right. Although that will come later. But true spirituality means the Spirit of God is in control of our lives. So today, the worldly philosophy is that we're just as good or better than the next guy. In other words, as long as I can look at others who don't measure up to my list of standards, then I'm pretty good. So as long as I can compare myself to others and see that I'm better than them, then that's good. That's not scriptural, though, is it? So Luke 18, verses 9 to 14, gives us a parable of a man who did this exact same thing. He was a Pharisee. So, Brother Scott, could you read that for us? Luke 18, 9 to 14, and we'll pray and get started.
And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
So a beautiful parable here told by our Lord Jesus Christ, which makes it that much more powerful. This isn't an actual Pharisee or an actual publican. This is our Creator teaching us a great lesson, isn't it? Using a Pharisee and a publican in his parable. And in the parable, notice that what happens when we compare or when we use others as a measuring system for our own spirituality, if you will. Did you see the phrase despised others? So what happens is you begin to look down on others because they're not as good as you, because they don't measure up to what you think is right and wrong. And the pride gets in there and look what happens. You despise others. So this attitude or philosophy that I'm just as good as the next guy is definitely not in the Bible, because we're not supposed to compare ourselves to the next guy. We're supposed to only compare ourselves, as we'll see, to Jesus Christ. So let's pray and get started. Lord, thank you for your word. And I pray as we study it together and understand this worldly philosophy that we would avoid it at all costs. Lord, that we would make sure that we are always measuring ourselves against our Savior, and as the Holy Spirit leads, making the corrections in our spiritual walk that we need to make, that we might be closer to you and more effective servants for you. So speak to us from your precious word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 23, if we could. And we'll see here where the Lord Jesus Christ is rebuking again the scribes and Pharisees for a similar issue, and that is setting themselves up a standard of what they considered to be righteousness or holiness. And as long as they measured up to their own standards, then in their own eyes, they were righteous. So, Howard, if you could read verses 23 to 28 of Matthew 23.
Same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that...
It's Matthew 23. Sorry? Matthew 23, 23. Oh, yeah, I do it all the time.
Okay. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pray tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excesses. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whitened sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity.
You would think with these rebukes that Jesus gave that we would learn, but we still have this tendency, don't we, to compare and to set up our own system of measuring ourselves, deciding that we are spiritual. And the scribes and Pharisees, it was all about works for them, wasn't it? All about rituals. And here he continually calls them hypocrites because, notice in verse 23, they're paying tithe of everything. They're not just tithing on their wages. They're ever so careful to tithe everything. If somebody gives them a gift, they immediately calculate, what is 10% of the value of that gift? I better make sure I tithe that. So they're just being ever so careful about all of these outward things. And as Jesus says, it's the inside that's the problem. You're like whited sepulchres. You're like a sepulchre is where they would put dead people. Like today we would call it a tomb, or what else do we call those?
Mausoleum.
So that keep the outside nice and beautiful and clean and painted with nice white paint, but the inside is full of a dead person. And yet here we are 2,000 years later and we still have this problem. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 10:12 and we'll see where God makes it very clear that the last thing we should be doing is comparing ourselves to others. 2 Corinthians 10:12, Brent, if you would read that for us.
For we dare not make ourselves of a number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise.
So notice he says, measuring themselves by themselves. They've set up their own measurement system. We all tend to lean this way. We just need to be very careful we don't do it. Because as soon as we do, then we are delving into the sin of self-righteousness, which is sin. We all have sin in our life, even after we're saved, and we need to be relying on the Holy Spirit to help us with those things as He points them out, and never fall into this trap of priding ourselves in our rightness with God based upon comparing ourselves with others, or looking down on others, or setting up our own standard, our own system that says, well, if I do this, this, and if I don't do this, this, then I'm a spiritual Christian. If you're a spiritual Christian, you wouldn't do that anyway. You're going to be led by the Spirit of God. That's who's going to be controlling your life. You're going to be exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, and you're going to be a humble person, right, if you're being led by the Spirit of God. And the last thing you're going to do is to either trivialize or rate or compare when it comes to sin. We can't trivialize sin, although we tend to, don't we? We tend to say, well, these sins are really bad, murder, homosexuality, and so forth, but just a little bit of gossip or unforgiveness is okay. And that's not true, is it? Sin is sin. And God hates all sin, and God will deal with it. We have an example in John 8, right, with the Pharisees. Let's turn there. This is when they brought this woman to Jesus, who was, as they put it, taken in adultery. John chapter 8, 3 through 9, Philip, if you would.
Moses and the law commanded us, such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. When they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast first. First cast the stone at him. Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the elders, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none of the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more.
Now, I acknowledge that this was a test. There were many tests that they tried to use against Jesus, which is silly because he's God. He's always going to do the right thing, and he knows men's hearts. But notice what they wanted was for Christ to say, yes, stoner, so that they could then have an accusation against Christ. But notice how Christ shut the thing down by just saying, he that's without sin. In other words, which one of you is sinless, you go ahead and cast the first stone. Well, none of us are sinless. In other words, that's not why we're here, gentlemen. We're not here to attack this woman. We're here to deal with our own hearts. Amen? 1 Corinthians 11, if we would judge ourselves, we're to judge ourselves against Scripture, against Jesus. We're not here to be comparing ourselves to others, as this Pharisee did in the parable in Luke 18, as the Pharisees consistently did, even with Jesus and his disciples. They criticized them for what? Not washing their hands before they ate, eating the corn, doing things on the Sabbath that they thought that they shouldn't do, and the list was quite long. It was all about these external rules that they had set up. And that therefore made Jesus and the disciples not as spiritual as them. And that's a very dangerous thing. So we get distracted if we're not careful by this attitude, I'm just as good as the next guy. What God says is, God says that we are sinners, and he doesn't use us because we deserve it. He uses us because of who he is and because he is love. Amen? If God used us because we deserved it, then, well, he wouldn't use any of us because we're all sinners. We all fail him. We all make mistakes. So if he looked down and said, I'm only gonna put you to work in my service if you measure up to my standards. Well, that's it. None of us would ever be used because none of us measure up, do we? No, he uses us because of who he is and because he's loving and forgiving and merciful. And yes, he wants sin to be dealt with, but he does not want us to be focusing on comparing ourselves to others or setting up our own standard of rightness and wrongness. We're always to have the attitude that Paul did. What did he say? That he was the chief of sinners in 1 Timothy 1:15. Of whom I am chief, he said. That Paul always had this attitude. I am wicked. I don't deserve what God gave me to be an apostle. And that's the attitude we should have. So let's look at some scriptures on the attitude that we're to have. Romans 12:3, we'll start there. Roy, if you could read that for us, Romans 12:3. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's what the Pharisees and scribes did, isn't it? They thought of themselves highly. I do this. As the Pharisee said in the parable, I tithe, give tithes of all that I possess. I give to the poor. In other words, I'm a really good person. Or the other young man, the rich man, who came and said, I've kept all the commandments since my youth, Lord. As long as that's our attitude, we're not going to get anywhere with the Lord, are we? We're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And then in Ephesians 4:13, God shows us who we should measure ourselves against. Mark Zeus, if you could read that for us, Ephesians 4:13. See that word measure? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, one day in the future, we will be a perfect man when we leave this earth and we get our new body. Amen? But if you want to measure yourself, right there is who you should measure yourself against. The stature of the fullness of Christ. And if you don't measure up, then God has work to do in your life. Amen? You've still got work to do. Still got things to change. Let's look at another one, Galatians 6:3. Kelvin, if you could read that for us.
For if a man thinks himself to be something, he is nothing, he deceiveth himself.
I love that verse. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So Isaiah 65:5 tells us what God thinks about self-righteousness. Brad, could you read that for us? Isaiah 65:5.
Which says, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These have smoke in my nose, a fire that burns all the day.
None of us enjoys getting smoke in our nose for around the campfire, right? That's what it's like to God when we have this. And by the way, that phrase came from the Bible. We've all heard it hundreds of times, holier than thou. It came from this verse. So when we have this attitude, I'm holier than thou, it's like smoke in God's nose. That's self-righteousness. We need to be honest about who and what we are constantly with God. David gave us an example in Psalm 51. Let's turn over there. James, if you could read verses 4 to 10 of Psalm 51.
Against thee, Mary, have I sinned, and done this evil in my sight, but thou mightest be justified in thy speeches and be clear in thy purpose. Behold, I'm shaven in liberty, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be white as snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
David there is not comparing himself to anyone else. He's not offering up any self-righteousness. He's just coming to God. He wrote this after he got caught out with his sin by Nathan, his sin with Bathsheba and her husband. And he's just admitting that he's a sinner and asking God for help. Amen? That's to be our attitude. Help me, cleanse my heart. Help me to get right with you, Lord. He isn't pointing his finger at anyone else. He isn't blame shifting. He's just admitting he was wrong and asking for forgiveness and asking for a clean heart. That needs to be our constant attitude. And if it is, then the Holy Spirit will oblige. It's one of the reasons why he lives in us. Yes, he's to guide us in truth. He's to comfort, but he's also there to convict. And as we go to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is there to use the Word of God. Let's go to James 1 and we'll see this. To use the Word of God like a mirror to reflect back to us what we are. What we really are, not what we think we are. And as he does that, if we're responsive to the Holy Spirit, then he will help us to become more like the Lord. Brother Jim, could you read verses 23 to 25 of James 1.
For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forget it, what manner of man he was.
And verse 25.
But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he bring not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
So here God is likening his word to a mirror, a glass that you can see yourself in. And he says when we go to the word of God, we need to acknowledge or remember what we see. Because the Holy Spirit will use this powerful book, amen, to point things out in our lives, to show the flaws. And what does God want us to do but be responsive? Continue therein, being a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. The man who acknowledges what is reflected back to him when he goes to the mirror of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will use the Word to help us be more like Jesus. Amen? And that should always be our measure. 1 John 2:6, if you want to go there, Howard, tells us how we ought to walk. And that is to be like Jesus, the perfect man.
He that saith, he abideth in him, or to himself also, say to walk in him as he walked.
Walk as he walked. So if we're going to compare ourselves to anyone, we're only to compare ourselves to Jesus. And as long as we don't measure up, we've got work to do. So this attitude, I'm just as good or better than the next guy, not scriptural. It just really gives us an excuse to justify our own sin, to either minimize it or ignore it or whatever. And it just leads to self-righteousness. And as we saw in the parable, it leads to us looking down on others. Or Jesus used the word despise others. So, not a good worldly philosophy to have. Amen? Thoughts or questions about this one? I'm just as good or better than the next guy. Anybody? Brent?
Yeah, I just got a question with regard to that word stature you mentioned in Ephesians. So in Luke, it talks about Jesus increasing in stature and in favor of God and man. And so what do you think that actually means, like for a young Jesus or for a young man growing up, that he is, what does it actually mean in that context?
I think in that context it's talking about coming to full maturity. And in that case, it would be for us spiritual, full spiritual maturity, that we become a, you know, the Bible says we're not to be children, but we're to grow up and be like men, right? 1 Corinthians 14, I think it's around verse 20, says, be children in malice, but in other ways, be an adult. I'm paraphrasing. But so I think what it's saying is someday we'll be fully mature. In other words, fully like Jesus in stature. So yeah, he started as a baby, matured to a full man. And that's God's goal for each of us, is that we keep maturing, right? That we not be, Ephesians 4:14, not be like children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but we keep maturing in stature to the point that we are at the fullness of Jesus, and that is not complete, obviously, until we are in heaven with the Lord. Then we will get our new bodies, and hallelujah, we'll be sinless. Won't that be wonderful? That's when we reach our full stature, but not until we get to heaven. Because the Bible says that Jesus is going to do that. Look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. He's going to give us a new body. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Brent, do you want to go ahead and read those for us?
For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
So he shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. So notice that glorious body, that's full stature. Fully mature, it's glorious. Hallelujah. Other thoughts or questions about this worldly philosophy? I'm just as good or better than the next guy. Yeah, Kyle?
A lot of unsaved people would like to compare themselves to others and say, well, I'm not a murderer, I'm not that bad, so I must be going to heaven. But then it's like Romans 2:23, we've all sinned in 3:10, there's none righteous, there's wages of sin is death. As saved people, we know that we don't deserve heaven, we deserve to go to hell, and we're all sinners.
Oh, it'll be one of the number one lies that leads people to hell. Absolutely. Because you can't get saved until you're lost. Right? Because if you're not lost, what do you need saved for? What do you need saved from? That's why whenever you present the gospel, you start with sin and the consequences of sin. You got to get them lost before you can get them saved. And all of us, when we got saved, we acknowledged that we were sinners and that we did not deserve heaven, but that we deserved hell. And the consequences of sin is to go to hell. So you got to get past that with people and make sure that they understand. And most people, once you start talking about it and explaining from the scriptures, they're willing to acknowledge, yes, I'm a sinner. You'll get the odd one who says, oh, I've never sinned. Well, that person can't be saved until they acknowledge they have sinned. And then you talk about things like lies. Have you ever told a lie in your entire life? Anyway, it's so true. This will lead some people to hell because they're not willing to acknowledge that I need a Savior. Remember what Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In other words, the self-righteous can't be saved. You can't be saved until you admit you're a sinner. Any other thoughts or questions about this fourth philosophy? I'm just as good or better than the next guy. So don't let the devil trick you into this. Just keep comparing yourself to Jesus. Stay in the Word of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to be responsive when you go to the Word. Open thou mine eyes, amen, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy truth. If you keep that attitude that Paul had, that you're the chief of sinners, then you're on the right path of growing and maturing and becoming more like Jesus. As soon as you drift over into the self-righteousness realm, then you're right where the devil wants you. No other thoughts or questions?